that I can to be able to reach as many people as we can. I understand Aaron has told me when this is over, he's going to be uploading it to Spotify in different areas so that you'll be able to listen to it later in case you didn't get a chance to hear it now. But I just want to welcome you right now. This is exciting. It's brand new for me. I may make a few mistakes, but that's okay as long as you're on and I'm on and we're communicating. So listen, when we're done, there's a on the side of our computer, you're going to see a mingle and chat. You can type in there. We can chat at the end. We can communicate there. So it's going to be really, really great. But listen, I just want to talk to you right now about some things. And I'm going to be so blunt on these podcasts. You're probably going, where's her face? Well, you'll get that on live Facebook and YouTube. This is going to be audio, and I'm going to do as many of these as I possibly can in this dark hour to strengthen the body of Christ and even those that don't know Jesus, what they're going to do during this time. So listen, let's start out by talking a little bit about all the things that are going on. Now, I just want to begin by telling you, whatever you choose to do, whatever your choices are, I always try to emphasize to people, that's your business. I always use the expression, whatever melts your butter. But we're hearing so much about vaccinations. We're hearing so much about the virus. We're hearing all sorts of things about possible food shortages, blackouts, churches closing, and people literally, and you got to understand this, a lot of people are afraid. Listen, folks, I'm a pretty brave girl. I lived on the streets of New York, ate out of garbage cans, shot dope, and got beat up a bunch of times. So I got pretty tough skin. But I'm here to tell you, I too at times literally get a little scared because I think about the anticipation of those things that are going to come. Now for me, it don't matter. I've been around a while. It's my grandchildren, my daughter, those that are close to me, my friends, that sometimes I can't help to worry about. And you're sitting out there going, that's what's going on with me. I'm concerned about what's coming. I'm concerned about what's happening. I'm concerned about all the violence. Well, so am I. I'm getting ready to get in my vehicle very shortly, and I'm going to be driving up to Delaware, New York City, and then the east part of New York in Buffalo, Cheektowaga areas alone. And many people are telling me, don't go, Carol. It's a dangerous time. You do all this by yourself. You never know what's going to happen. Pack heat, which is a gun, or make sure you got pepper spray. So people are acknowledging that this is a dark time and more violent than we can even imagine. What are we going to do, folks? I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. Many people are expecting the rapture. I'm not here to debate about a rapture. Believe whatever you want. For me, I have, you know, some hesitation with the rapture. I don't think the escape hatch theory is going to get us out of here. However, I think it's important. If there is one, we will be gone. But what if we're going to be here through some tribulation? What if we're going to have to walk through some dark times? What if there is a food shortage? What if there is a problem? What if they start locking us down no matter what? What are we going to do? What I want to begin by saying is, more than anything, I am not interested any further in the political agenda in any part of the globe, to be honest with you. We trusted leaderships and prime ministers and presidents and royalty, and they're not coming through. They're not coming through because there is an agenda. There is a plan. You have to understand this. There is a plan to control the world. Well, that's hard to believe. Well, look around. Looks pretty clear to me. So now, what are we going to do in regards to all this? And this is my attitude straight up and forward. First of all, you're going to have to clear out spiritually your condition. If the possibility of not being here tomorrow is in front of us, then we want to make sure that when we walk through that door into eternity, which is going to be very cool, by the way, you think this is something, wait till you get to eternity. It's going to be amazing. You're going to see Jesus. You're going to see angels. You're going to see your loved ones that passed before you. You're going to have an opportunity to see what this whole thing that Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, is all about. So here's what I want to get to you. First and foremost, spiritually, precious friends, spiritually. What do you think I should do spiritually? First of all, I was listening to the word today, which I listen to pretty much every day. I go to sleep with it on in the background at night in my room. The Bible says, I think David said, search me, O Lord, pay attention now, and see if there be any wickedness in me. That's the first thing you want to do. You want to make sure that while we're looking around, wondering what's going to happen, getting caught in all the secular turmoil, that spiritually within our very hearts, within our very spiritual being, we're okay. How do we start that? We start it by beginning to ask ourselves if our conscience, if we have conviction, because if there is sin in our lives, what we need more than anything is the Holy Spirit to convict us. We want conviction. I don't know about you, but I want to know when I'm wrong. I want to know when I've done something I shouldn't be doing. I want the Holy Spirit to convict me. I want Him to talk to me when I'm doing wrong. I want to feel His presence so I know that if I've done something that's unacceptable in the sight of God, the Holy Spirit is convicting my heart. That's the first thing you want to do. Ask God to give you conviction. Father, I want to be convicted while you're searching my heart and seeing if there's any wickedness there. I want to make sure that your conviction of your mighty Holy Spirit is leading me and guiding me to the wrongdoing in my life. Folks, we can't sit around talking about getting out of here when we ain't living right. We can't sit here talking about everything's going to be all right when we ain't living right. We have to have a place where we stop and we say in our hearts, I want the Holy Spirit to show me the things in the event I have to walk through anything or I should be gone in the morning or tonight. I want to make sure that my heart was pure before God. So conviction is so important. That's what I want. I want to know that my heart is pure before God because I'm going to stand before Him one day and I can't take my grandchildren, Abigail and Aaron. I can't take my daughter, Marilyn. I can't take my friend, Lisa, or my friend, Shannon. I have to stand before Jesus Christ completely and totally alone and answer for me. And He's not interested who was running my country at the time or who I voted for. He's going to only want to know that my heart is open before Him and that I was following after Him, running with Him. So conviction is very important. You don't hear people talk about that anymore. We all hear about, well, you know, you're forgiven. Absolutely. Well, you know, but John wrote a letter and said, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now that's what it says. So it's important that I'm convicted, I confess my sins, and I reapply the warm, living blood of Jesus Christ. That's very important. Another thing I want to talk to you about in this Overcoming Dark Times podcast is forgiveness. Folks, I have never, and I'm going to be blunt because you know I always am, I have never seen so much battling, backbiting, debating, fighting, divisions. That does not come from God. I mean, that ain't rocket science or brain surgery. That kind of behavior is not of God. I've had some deep conversations with friends and people that I shared Bible studies with, and they tell me, well, he did this to me. Well, she did that to me. Well, he did that to me. Well, you don't know what they did. How can I forget this? I'm wounded. I'm betrayed. This is the point. When you go to Jesus Christ and you ask Him for forgiveness, it happens right then and there through the warm, living blood of Jesus. Immediately, He forgives you. And you say, well, that's Jesus. It's hard. I get it. I've been there, done that, where someone has hurt me and betrayed me so badly. But I'm going to tell you what. In this hour, I am going to make absolutely sure that I have laid down my sword against fighting with people. I'm done debating. I don't care if you took the vaccine or you didn't take the vaccine or you voted for Joe Schmo from Kokomo. I don't care what party you belong to, what country you're living in. All I care about is my heart before God is pure and that I have forgiven and that I have allowed people to be, that I have not only forgiven, that they know that I am forgiven. It's so important. Here's a great example. I have a girlfriend. She's amazing. I absolutely love her. We knew each other for, I don't know, 30 years. When the elections were going on, we got into a debate. And I said to her, I don't want to argue. I don't care. I'm not a political person. I'm not into all that. I'm into the kingdom of God and the king that rules that kingdom. I understand how important it is that we have leadership that's going to be good and help. But I quit trusting all that. Well, we got into a debate. We fought. We didn't talk. Are you ready? For over a year and a half. Here's 30 some years of a devoted friendship. We had each other's back. We loved one each other deeply. We got together and had meals together. We prayed together. We wept before God and worshiped together. And over a silly argument, we divided for over 12 months. Short time back, I made a decision that I was going to clean that up. And I contacted her. I told her about all the beautiful memories we have. It wasn't easy, I'll be honest with you, because some things were said that were very painful. But I got in touch with her and I said to her, I just want you to know how much I love you. I just want you to know that all the memories that we have forged throughout 30 years, I refuse to let the devil rob from me. And we made up. And I checked every person I can think of that I might have had aught with or an argument with. I don't care. I'll lay down my pride. I'll break down humility. I will come and I will do whatever it takes. I will do whatever it takes to make peace with all of those that are of the household of faith. It's important that we understand that if we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. Messages. So it's very, they're bringing messages in. So it's very important, I was just saying something, excuse me. It's very important that we understand that forgiveness is not a request, it is a command. We are commanded. Jesus said, forgive me as I have forgiven you. Forgive me as I have forgiven you. So that is of the essence that we forgive. So now what you want to do is you want to check your heart, man. You want to go into all those little crevices in your heart and check as much as you can so that you say to God, go in there and clean it up. People, lay down your pride. Lay down your swords. Remember, the devil's plan for us is to divide us. Even with this vaccine stuff going on, whether you're pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine or afraid of what's in it or not afraid of what's in it, people are fighting like animals. You're going to kill people. Oh, it's your fault. Oh, you're all these terrible discussions. Listen, let everybody do what they want to do, make their own choices, and love them anyway. Love them anyway. If you took the vaccine, then you're safe in your estimation. Great. And if you're anti-vaccine and you feel like you're safe and you're not hurt, then that's great. But folks, it isn't about the vaccine. It's about the fighting and the hatred and the divisions. That's the problem. So what I want to tell you is what these things you want to do spiritually, you want very much to make sure that the conviction of the Holy Spirit in this day is reminding you about the things to come out and be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. It is of the essence that you forgive or you will not be forgiven. As I said, it's not a choice. It's a command. Jesus clarified that over and over in the Gospels. Another thing, you want to be prepared in your heart. You want the Word of God in your heart. Turn off that idiot box. Turn off that boob tube. If the TV is not a god, why is every chair in the house facing it? And why is there massive breakouts of fights when you lose the channel selector? We lose our Bibles, they're gone for months, they're dusty. But you lose that channel selector, and you're going to have a fight. So it's important to get the word. Speak the word to your children. Get your Bibles out. Put those phones down. And make absolutely sure you are taking time in the word of God. I get up in the morning, sometimes before the sun gets up. I grab my Bible, and I'm back on the back porch with my Java. And I'm sipping my Java and listening to the word. Or I'm reading it. So it's very, very important that you have the word of God loud and clear in your home and in your life. And here's another thing you're going to want to do. You're going to want to cast out unclean spirits. Wow, Carol, really? Yes, they're everywhere. They come through your phone. They come through your TV. They come from your involvement with other people. They come in relationships. Cover yourself in the warm, living blood of Jesus. Cover your family in the warm, living blood of Jesus. Tell Satan not to cross the bloodline. Remind him every day that the blood of Jesus is established on your lentils and your doorposts, and that he better not enter that house. Get rid of junk inside your house that is demonic. Quit celebrating Halloween and pagan holidays where your children are dressed up and celebrating holidays that in the sight of God are not acceptable. Get rid of things in your home, in your life, that are going to be an interruption to walking in the power and the strength in these dark times. It is so important. Prayer is not just walking around rattling. Prayer is literally going in the throne room of grace where you see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. This ain't no legend. This ain't no fallacy. This ain't no fable. You, by your spirit man, through your born again experience, walk into where God is. You walk in strong. You walk in the blood of Jesus. You walk in the power of the Holy Spirit to where he is. The word of God says that we have entrance to the throne room of grace through the warm, living blood of Jesus. Go in there. Go in there, ladies and gentlemen, and start praying. Start believing God for miracles. We pray, but do we really believe God for miracles? I can't even tell you. I had a young man who got in a motorcycle accident. Some of you know about this. Dude was crushed. I mean, crushed. Motorcycle looked like a pile of rubble. And believe it or not, he landed up in the hospital in critical condition in the trauma unit. His mother contacted me. I went to the hospital, to the trauma unit. When I walked in that room, I was like, shut up. Look at this. I mean, this dude had machinery everywhere, tubes in every part of his body. It was unbelievable. And I walked up and I sat with the mother and just ministered love to her. Then I walked up to the bed where he was laying, machinery, everything, doped up out of his mind on opiates because he was in so much pain. They had him on more medication than you can count on your fingers. I told him, Valen, my name is Carol Kornacki, and I've come here to pray. And you're not going to lay in that bed. You're going to get up, and you're going to be fine. You're going to make it. I'm going to pray. And I began to pray. I think the hospital walls shook. I left, came back a few times, and continued. He didn't know me, had never met me. Yet when he got up out of that bed, miraculously, went home and is healed, like, get out of here. He's up around walking, no machinery, no crutches, no casts. I mean, that guy was busted up like you don't want to know. And he said to his mother, I heard that lady praying for me. I'm here today because that lady prayed for me. Listen, it had nothing to do with who I am. It had to do with the God that I served, that I went to. Totally relieved of everything. Coming quickly back to normal. So when you go in the throne room of grace and you pray, believe that what you're praying for. When I pray for people, I got people on all kinds of machinery. I got people on who can't breathe. I've got a young lady named Sarah who's had migraines for 12 years of her life, my dear friend's daughter. When I pray, I want to shake the walls of the throne room of grace and ask God to perform for his glory and lift these people up. So what are we talking about? Conviction of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about forgiveness. Put down your sword. What is it accomplished? Prayer. The word of God. You're not going to make it. You can look up at the sky all day long for the rapture rug. But unless we're walking in a manner worthy of our calling, unless we're walking in forgiveness according to the commands of God, unless the word of God is on our hearts and on our lips, and we meditate it like he told Joshua day and night, we're not going to make it in this world or the next. Because I'm here to tell you, there ain't nobody in the flesh, in any government, in any leadership that's going to save us. I'm here to tell you. So it's time to flip the switch on trusting the one who can be trusted, the living God and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that lives and abides inside of you. Now, we understand as well that they're talking about a food shortage. Now, this is going to be in the physical, what is going to be important in the physical. They're talking about a food shortage. I just put up a picture on my Facebook that clearly showed that they had these curtains hanging in front of shelves with pictures on the vinyl curtains of the food that would have been on the shelf. When you move the curtain away, the shelf was empty. Tons of shelves. When I go shopping and I notice shelves are empty. I'm like, wow, if I order and have them delivered to my house, you can do that with Whole Foods. They do it for free. If I do that, I go to order two kefirs probiotics. They'll tell me you can only get one of these. I'll order two of these. They go, no, you can only get one of these. I'm like, when did that start? So in the event there's a possibility of a food shortage, you have to be wise enough to prepare. Now, let me explain this to you. When Egypt fell into a plague, not a plague, excuse me, that was a plague too, into a you know, when they went without food, Joseph went to Pharaoh and he told him, listen, we got to work this out. And he started collecting food and he started putting food away for the famine. The point is, you have to be wise enough to be prepared. I have made it a point to be prepared, to make sure that if under any event I cannot get food, I'll have food. Folks, they're already getting to the point where they're saying you're not going to be able to buy or sell if you don't take the vaccination. Listen, I don't think that's right. For those who have taken it, God bless you. That's your right. But I don't think it's right to tell people they can't buy or sell unless they take a jab. And then what's going to happen when you start finding out, and this is what they're saying, I'm only telling you what the news says, don't get mad at me, when they say that these jabs only last 3 months. So now if they only last 3 months, I got to get a booster. What if I don't want a booster? What if I don't like the results of the first? So what are they going to say then? Well, you know, you took 3 or 4 shots, but you didn't take the next one. So now you can't buy or sell. Folks, when you look at an agenda, when you understand an ultimate satanic plan since the Garden of Eden to control man, that's what Satan wanted to do to Adam and Eve. He deceived them and he wanted to control them. He wanted them in his domain. When you realize that everything has been set up to the end until his agenda is fulfilled. Jesus said, the world will give you tribulation, but I've overcome the world. Jesus said, you're going to have trouble, but I'm going to give you peace. Those are the things we have to look to. And we have to understand, too, that we may have to do some stockpiling a little bit. Get yourself some batteries the next time you go. Get yourself a few flashlights. Get yourself some extra broth and food. Get yourself a water filter that doesn't have to be plugged in, that you can set outside. I got one. If it rains, it'll fill up with water. I can drink water from a dirty pond. So you want to make sure that in the natural, you are supplying yourself with some things you may need. It's very, very important. So we want to be wise. We want to be wise spiritually. We want to be wise naturally, we want to make sure that we are doing what we need to do in the event there's a blackout or a food shortage. And I know you say, oh man, Carol, that's scary. Well, I didn't come up with it. It's just reality, and I'm dealing with it, and I'm hoping you will too. Listen, folks, I don't like the way things are going. I honestly and sincerely do not like the way things are going. I wish we were born in 1930 or 1925 where we didn't have to go through this. But we're here. We're here. And like Mordecai said to Esther, you were born for a time such as this. Whatever reason God has for us, whatever reason we're here for, whatever we're supposed to be doing, the most important thing is that we are prepared. We are prepared. Lay down your sword. Love one another. Forgive one another. And folks, you better pray for your family. I got family members that aren't saved. I got family members that I won't see in heaven if the change don't come. It is so important that you're an example to your children and not teach them to depend on governments, but depend on the government that sits on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, which is an eternal government. And to let other people make their choices without battling and fighting, but to love them and pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal to each and every one the kingdom of God and the truth therein. I don't want to go on too long today. I just wanted to start with my first broadcast. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be listening later on. It's exciting to get on. I'm going to do a bunch of these as soon as I learn how to do it. I got Aaron teaching me over here. I love talking to you guys. I'm excited about doing further broadcasts. And I'm also very excited that you are hungry for the things of God. Get hungry. You know, when I don't eat all day, I'll say to somebody, I am so hungry, and I will stuff my face, and 10 minutes later, I'm full. The bottom line is, be hungry for God. Don't be satisfied with 45 minutes on a Sunday in church. That's important. Go. Hear the word of God. Support the church. Worship in fellowship with those that are there. But that is not going to make it for you. You're going to have to take what you get home and everywhere you go. Stand strong in the power of God. Realize your strength in Jesus. Recognize the power of the red living blood. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would strongly suggest you start thinking about it. Because if tomorrow doesn't come, I don't think you're going to float around in Nirvana with Buddha and a butterfly and come back as an ant. I would strongly suggest you get to know Jesus Christ who died for you, who loves you, who totally cares about you so much that he died in your place. Get rid of those sins through his blood. Clear your conscience and your heart. Wash your mind with the word of God and get to know the Holy Spirit. Love the Holy Spirit. Where is he? Inside of you. People tell people, well, Jesus lives in your heart. No, Jesus doesn't live in your heart. Jesus ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God. He said, I will pray the Father so you won't be as orphans, and he'll send the Holy Spirit. He'll comfort you, counsel you, teach you, remind you of every word I ever said. He is your overcoming power. Don't be caught up in this world, ladies and gentlemen. Too many wound up in the world system. Get wound up in the word system, not the world system. Stand in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Get that Bible out and turn that idiot box off and start saying, Father, I'm going to start collecting some things so that in the event we run into a problem, I have some things at home here. And you might go, well, I can't afford that. Start getting anything you can. Just for anything. Hurricane, ice storm, blackout, food shortage. Make sure you've got something. And folks, let me give you some advice. Don't believe everything you hear in the media. Don't believe the numbers they're claiming. Don't believe the stories they're telling you. Don't believe the propaganda that they're spreading. Don't believe anybody's out to save you or help you. Because the only one who really cares about you genuinely is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So I'm going to let you go now. I'm looking forward to my next podcast. Hope you enjoyed this one. Now you can go on, mingle and chat, and we can talk there for a while when we get done. We'll kind of hang out there if you'd like. I love you. God bless you. When you have done everything to stand, get ready to stand and continue to stand. May the Lord bless you, cause his face to shine on you, and always remember, I love you, but God loves you much more.